I remember an old Garfield cartoon where Garfield is insulted by someone and he takes the high road. He picks up his head and he says, "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never harm me." And he turns away and walks away and trips over a dictionary and falls down. If you read Parshas Tezriah Metzora and you see what happens to the Baal Lashon Hara, you get a different impression about the importance of words. Because not only can words hurt a person, words can even hurt sticks and stones, like when tzaras is on a house. The Torah obviously gives great importance to one's speech, the power of one's speech. Shlomo HaMelech went as far as to say, "Maves v'chayim biyad lashon." Literally, hands, life and death are in the hands of the tongue. Chazal say that Lashon Hara is equated with the big three averos, the ones one is obligated to give up his life for. And recently, Daf Yomi learned in Shabbos Lamed Gimel that one could be chayav misa for speaking Lashon Hara. Now, in the recent Shmiras HaLashon movement, with all the new sign-up sheets and all the new videos and new books, so we're used to hearing this. We're used to hearing just how serious, just how detrimental Lashon Hara can be. And it's no longer a question of why. Everyone knows Lashon Hara is bad. But at the risk of being slandered, I'm going to ask the question, what exactly makes Lashon Hara so bad? Evil tongue, they call it. What is so evil about Lashon Hara? Now, obviously, certain kinds of Lashon Hara are quite evil, like the kind that cost someone his job, or cost someone his marriage, or the kind of Lashon Hara that Bar Kamsa told to tell the Romans to come and destroy the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, some types of Lashon Hara are quite evil. What about, like, our Lashon Hara, the kind that we're struggling with every single day? Like the water cooler gossip, or coming home, how was your day at work, or you're not going to believe what this neighbor of ours did to me yesterday. What is so evil about that? Doesn't make you a nice person, doesn't make you a tzaddik, not winning a kind person of the year, but what exactly is so evil? How can Chazal call that murder just to speak regular pedestrian Lashon Hara? A number of years ago, I heard a very profound, deep insight from Rav Aaron Lapiansky, who's a Rosh Yeshiva in Silver Spring. He explained that just like Hashem created the world with speech, our speech also has the ability to create. And not like in a cliche, Kabbalistic, spiritual way. In a very, very real and practical way, our speech has the ability to create and destroy. Consider a piece of wood, a flat piece of wood with four legs coming out of it. What is it? Is it a table? Is it a bed? Who decides? I decide. If I put a tablecloth and put four chairs around it and serve dinner on it, it's a table. But if I put a sheet on it, and a mattress, and pillows, and blankets, it's a bed. I determine not only how I see it, but how other people see it. What I call it defines what it is. Amazingly, that ability for our speech to define what something is, what its essence is, even applies to other people. In next week's Parsha, we read the pasuk of Lo Seilech Rachil Bi'Amecha. The Torah refers to a Baal Lashon Hara as a rachil, a peddler, a traveling salesman. Rachilus, gossip, is peddling, traveling around and selling. What exactly is the connection? What exactly is the Torah trying to teach us about Lashon Hara by referring to it as peddling? Well, let's think about it. What exactly is the job of a traveling salesman? What is the job of a modern-day equivalent telemarketer, aside from driving you crazy? What exactly is the goal of a person like that? Well, obviously their goal, their job, is to sell you something that you're currently not interested in buying. Because if you were already interested in buying it, you would have bought it. No one's staying at home waiting for the perfect steak knives or skin cream to come knocking on the door. When they come by, they realize you're not interested. You're not buying what I'm selling. You're not seeing it the same way. But let me talk to you. Give me a few minutes. Let me try to present you a different picture. You may think you're happy with your current wireless provider, but did you know that Fios is only half the price, but double the bandwidth? You might think you can't afford a vacation, but did you realize for only $5 a month, you can go on this dream vacation? You don't see it a certain way, but let me talk to you. If I'm a good enough salesman with the golden tongue, if I can present things orally in a different way, I can change the way you see it. By referring to a Baal Lashon Hara as a peddler, the Torah is basically telling us that is what a Baal Lashon Hara does. That is what Lashon Hara can do. Just like the piece of wood can be seen as a table or a bed, depending on how I describe it, what I call it, a human being can be viewed totally differently based on how I define him. Someone doesn't like to spend money. So how would you call him? Would you say he's just careful? Or is he stingy? Who decides? I decide. You may have thought he was economical, but when I call him a cheapskate, suddenly, if you buy what I'm selling, If I could bring proofs to support my argument, tell enough bad stories about him, you might also start to see him in a new light. You might also start to see him as a cheapskate. As someone passionate or hot-tempered, loud or outgoing, confident or arrogant, lazy or relaxed, it's totally up to me. However I define the person, whatever pejorative or compliment that I use to describe someone, that can be how I view his essence and change how you view the person. In that sense, Lashon Hara is more powerful, more dangerous, pernicious even, than any other type of damage. I could attack someone's body, I could attack their bank account, I could steal from them or physically assault someone, but it doesn't change who they are. Lashon Hara is the only type of crime where you can actually change how other people see him. He could spend a whole life working on a reputation a certain way, presenting himself in a certain light. With one snide remark or a couple of stories that you share about that person in a negative way, you can change how other people see him. You've changed. You've destroyed that person's essence. You're 100 miles away, and he may never find out. There's no consequences. No Romans, no destructive marriage, no loss of job. There's no consequences. And 100 miles away, I can change how all your friends think about you. I can use one little adjective, a different way of phrasing things, take the same action and describe it in the negative light, and other people see you differently. I have destroyed your essence. And in this way, even the simple water cooler gossip, even the little jokes, the snide remarks, they can actually destroy a person. That's evil tongue. And of course, if our words can destroy, then they also have the power to create. They also have the power to build up, to compliment someone, to speak highly of someone else, to defend someone else who's being criticized, to say, hey, I can be a salesman too. Let me present this person in a new light. What if he didn't mean it that way? What if this person actually meant it this way? What if he's not stubborn? He just has good opinions and he's really confident in his opinions. The way you describe someone changes how others see him. A kind word can build someone up, not only in their own head and their own self-esteem, you can actually build up someone in someone else's mind. It's an amazing responsibility that we have with our tongues, the amazing ability we have with our speech. We can absolutely destroy a person or make someone a hero. Truly, maves v'chayim b'yad lashon.